The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Now, think about presentations. Everyone's either given one or sat through one, but is there a formula to making them good and making them interesting? Well, my next guest says, yes, there is. And he claims that most presenters of presentations are just not following it. So to discuss this, I'm joined by lecturer in technical communications in UCD, Barry Brophy. Barry, you're very welcome.
Thank you. Thanks, Claire.
Technical communications are tricky to do, aren't they? Because they're technical.
Yeah, I think all presentations are kind of the same. You're explaining something you know well and have been working on for 20 years to someone in 5 minutes. It's the same compression. It's the same tools really that you use. But yeah, it's tricky to explain how AI works to somebody, you know, if you're looking for investment or whatever. It's a challenge. That's what got me into it.
So when you say, as you do, that most presentations are just awful,
yeah,
is it what people are putting up on the screen or is it how the presenters are presenting? What's awful?
Well, unnecessarily awful is what I'd say. It's a very easy fix. It's kind of a provocative title for the book. It's just sort of, they don't need to be. But I think it's what people put up on the screen and it's the way they structure it. Everyone can converse. Like, this show is conversation and it's spellbinding listening to people. I was talking to Aaron outside, the Spice guy, that's coming on later. And, you know, listening to people's stories is fascinating. And conversation structures the communication perfectly. You tell stories, it's audience focused, it's interactive, you use lots of examples, you speak in the concrete, it works. So if you just apply the conversational techniques to the presentation and structure it like a conversation with props, it works. It works very well. I've seen it with my own students.
What about people who will stand up in front of an audience, they'll see all the faces staring up at them and they will go blank, their mouth will go dry. It is the worst place they could possibly be. What's the advice to them?
I mean, the nerves thing, like, I think you just said this off air, and I agree with you. You shouldn't make somebody do a wedding speech if it's totally not their thing. But remember, a wedding speech is like a performance, really. It's stand-up comedy. It's not the same. Presenting is just talking. So focus on what you're saying. I would say to people who are very nervous, get there early and chat to the people coming into the room so that when you stand up to speak, it's like you're already speaking to them. It doesn't feel like think about presentation. There's a podium. There's this. It's like a performance, but it doesn't need to be. It's a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And also be interactive, ask questions, show of hands, make eye contact. So to try and make it into a conversation and take the opportunities to present. Like my own students in my course, nerves is obviously a thing at the start, but it's never discussed towards the end. It's just let it get on with it. If you're playing a football match, you're going to be nervous, but that's not your focus. So
yeah, so you're not saying like if it's going to give you close to a panic attack, you're saying you have to just learn how to do it rather than you have to avoid it.
Exactly. And don't try to tackle the nerves head on. Sort of ignore the nerves and get on with it. And then the nerves will subside with practice. One good tip is go there early, but also maybe go to the room the day before or in advance and just look at the space and plug everything in. That demystifies a lot of the fear of the unknown.
Mm-hmm.
But practice and get on with it. And also realize that you might feel terrified, but a lot of nerves doesn't make you a bad presenter. And an absence of nerves doesn't make you a good one. And we've all seen that. People who are complacent and slightly arrogant and just not energized enough to present.
What about PowerPoint? What's up on the screen? Should we use them?
So PowerPoint is a way of putting something behind your head. Is that valuable? Of course it is. Look at the weather forecast. It's a PowerPoint presentation. And it's pretty spellbinding because you're interested in, I'm playing a football match or I'm getting married at the weekend. What's the weather like? So for visuals and for animated visuals where you walk the audience, maybe you have a graph and you make it appear in stages so that they understand what the hell is on that graph. But when you put up text and talk over it, it's a complete disaster.
Or read it out.
Exactly.
Point after point.
And when they're reading the text, they're hearing it. You know the way when you see in a film someone's reading a letter, you hear the voice.
Mm-hmm.
And when you read someone's WhatsApp, you hear their voice. So it's going through the audio channel. So if you're reading it and listening at the same time, it jars. But if you walk down the street, you're looking and listening. The two channels come in parallel. So if you're listening to a good presenter and seeing mostly visual material, perfect.
So the visual material should just be a hook into a chapter of the presentation rather than a lot of information.
It shouldn't be information, and not just a hook. It could be like here's the site we're developing. Here's a photograph. Here's another photograph. Here's another photograph. Here's a map of the overview. Here's a close-up. Here's a football pitch overlaid on the area to show the scale. That kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Stuff that helps you to understand. Like, we're very visual animals. If you look at any website, it's littered with visuals to help explain. So if they help you explain, they're excellent.
Okay, so you mentioned earlier on that it's a conversation, but there is really only one person talking.
Yes, I'm very interested in interaction. Like, I'm on this show and I'm talking, but I'm not in conversation. I tend to listen more than I talk. And it's the listening process. I get sick listening to myself. I don't like speaking for a long period. So I will always try to get the audience active. Because if you're teaching an audience, if they're not active, they're not learning. Mm-hmm. So what you can't do is go in and say, you, guy with the blue jumper, what do you think? Because it's interaction, but it's forced. It's like going onto a train and speaking to someone. It's not a conversation. It's you talking to someone and them having to talk back. So I would say interaction is kind of almost like a feeling. It's like the audience feels they could ask a question even if they don't. So make eye contact, take pauses. If you tell a story, what's the first thing that usually happens? Someone tells you a story straight back. Oh, yeah, my brother was telling me that. You know, so if you tell stories and then go, any questions? Question will come then. You know, you'll kind of pull interaction in. Show of hands. You know, just you're asking them a question. They've got to go to the trouble of putting their hand up, of thinking, of answering, and realizing he cares what we think as well as, you know, that kind of way. Mm-hmm. So I would, anything that gets the feeling of a conversation into the room is positive. And yeah, ask them, have any questions, get them to talk. Maybe even say, right, just scribble down your ideas on this. I'm not going to get you to share them, but I just want you to think about it for 1 minute. That kind of stuff mm-hmm. is really, really good.
So the mistakes then people are making, it's about too much information, too much text on those yeah. slides behind your head.
Yeah.
What else are they doing in terms of presenting style then that's not working?
Well, again, the style, if you get the content right, the style is you in a cafe talking to your friend. And that works. You practice that. You can't mm-hmm. be anyone else. And you're probably quite funny. You're probably quite energetic. You're probably quite natural. You've your own rhythm of speaking. So style-wise, I wouldn't worry too much about that. The one is eye contact. Because if you think about it, when someone's stressed, eye contact is the one thing that falls off. Where's my keys? Where did I leave my phone? You're kind of almost looking into space or even covering your eyes trying to remember something that you did before. So I would remind people just to keep checking with the audience with your eyes. Mm-hmm. But style, you're okay as long as you keep making eye contact. Content, just too much. If you say to people 10 minute presentation, that's very short. How will I get it all covered? But if you say to someone, what do you do for a living? They'll say, I'm a school teacher. They've summarized a 20-year career in 2 seconds, mm-hmm. 1 second. Or I'm a professional tennis player, I'm an engineer. So if you want more, then you'll dig a little bit and say primary, secondary, or do you teach this? Or my son's telling me, and you might pull more from that person. But in a conversation, you don't feel you have to speak for 20 minutes. So just let go, you know, just say, what do I need to do? What does the audience want from this? Give them that. And if they're interested, they'll come back with loads of questions.
A listener says, to calm your nerves, eat a banana. I have never heard that before. But now we're going to try it, aren't we? We're going to want to try that. Thank you so much. This one, one of my biggest bugbears is people trying to speak without visuals. Some of us can't keep track of what you're saying, no matter how good you are. And if you're trying to explain something technical, you need visuals. You don't need a load of text.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, anchor your points. People will remember visually. So, and also they'll ask you for your slideshow. And they will give your presentation to someone else, if you think about it. They'll say, oh, yeah, this guy in, I've got his slides here. And they'll kind of re-give your presentation. So, yeah, for the visual learners, it's good to have the visual as well as the speaking. The two work in parallel. Mm-hmm. They're not mutually exclusive.
Barry, thank you so much. That's Barry Brophy, who's a lecturer in technical communications in UCD.
The Clare Byrne Show. With Aviva Insurance. Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.